Hello, everybody, and welcome again to Back to the Future, the podcast that talks to the innovators of today who are making tomorrow happen. Yes, indeed. In this session, I'm talking all things sensorial and hopefully sensational with Matteo Magnani. He was the Chief Consumer and Innovation Officer of Perfumery at Firmenich, the flavors and fragrance brand. Matteo, you're very welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Martin. I'm so happy to be here. You know, as a former brand marketeer and innovator that has been captured by fragrance, there couldn't be any better topic. So really glad to be here and thank you for inviting.
Now, you know, a pleasure. And really, just before we kick off into the main interview, I'm just wondering, could you tell our listeners a little more about Firmenich and also about your current role in how you kind of play out this whole world of fragrance and flavors?
Right. So Firmenich is a 125 years old powerhouse in fragrance and flavor. It's the largest privately owned fragrance and flavor house in the world. And it comes with an incredible foundation of creativity, of science. Our chief of research back in the days even won a Nobel Prize for the companies.
Wow, that is impressive.
At Firmenich headquarters in Geneva, you will see that on display, which is a great feeling coming every day to the office. And so really my role here is to take this great foundation and the opportunity to really be at the time where fragrance is more and more important in our lives and inject it with even more consumer insights, consumer understanding, forward thinking, and innovation. And that's how we are driving our growth right now.
Well, I'm going to go back to the Nobel Prize, but I'm assuming, but I could be wrong, was that for chemistry or which areas of the science is it in?
Correct. That was in the chemistry field, and it started a long tradition of very bright scientists at the helm of research in Firmenich.
Wow. You said the reason I say that is because a lot of people, I think, incorrectly assume that when we're talking about fragrance, it is talking about the natural world, which, of course, science is part of. But increasingly, and certainly from my explorations and hopefully from a conversation today, we realize that it is increasingly about the science and opportunity and innovation. And I just wanted you to kind of perhaps talk me through some of the things that you and your team are thinking about for future markets and kind of future journeys in the world of fragrance.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, this connection between science and creativity has always been the driving force of fragrance. The introduction of synthetic ingredients and chemical molecules in the industry has been a big point of transformation, one that has seen Firmenich really pioneering like many others. And now we are at this time where the two worlds, the naturals and the science, really are crossing. And it's very much about how can science help us better use naturals in a way that is truly sustainable. But we are going to come back to that.
Do you find that when you talk fragrances, for example, you mentioned at a party, that's what you do. The people automatically talk about flowers and plants and nice kind of gentle, natural things rather than understanding what sits behind it.
Yeah, so really inspiration and fragrance is pretty much anywhere. I don't know, Martin, if you ever heard about that project called Resurrecting the Sublime. That was a collaboration between some artists and a biotech company that were basically partnering up to recreate fragrances based on DNA of extinct botanical species. So it's even from the non-existing. And then you have, you know, much more real things like taste, which is a great inspiration for developing new fragrances, right? And it's always about the inspiration, but also the craftsmanship and the technical ability to recreate.
So I mean, it's interesting because I've chatted to quite a lot of CEOs and I always point out to them, they've got chief tech officer, chief finance officer, and very few have chief creative officers. And I know when we were doing our initial conversations, you know, your creative teams, your inspiration, your science, your marketing all sit very close together, which to me is how businesses should and will probably work in the future. But you're probably in a unique position where already this is how you think about a product: inspiration, desire, imagination, and then you put the science behind it to make these things happen.
Absolutely. And sometimes it can work also the other way around, right? You have a science inspiration that then it sparks something in a creative mind. And one of the most really rich collaboration that happened within film industry is between the scientists and the perfumers, right? So the people who are behind the engineering of the molecules of the extraction technologies, and then also have to turn that into a creative thinking and blend it with other things into a fragrance and really working hand in hand and crafting, fine-tuning from the initial scientific idea to the final molecule that goes into a fragrance is always a fascinating dialogue. And then when you bring on top the consumer insights expertise, the marketing inspiration, it becomes really rich, right? And it can go in many ways.
Yeah, because how many companies globally still have the product that they're selling, then they have the sales and marketing, and then they have the innovation, and you're putting them all on the same level and using one to fuel the other to create this wondrous new landscape, which is always when I think of fragrance. It just opens up so many ideas, so many dreams, so many adventures in my head, just in that little bottle.
You know, that's the mission every day, getting everyone to work together to find that new creative sparkle, new idea, and just do something with it.
Excellent. I mean, one of the questions I was asking, because I know that prior to working in your current job, you were at Procter & Gamble, and you know, you were the vice president of Fabric Care Europe. So thinking about that, I always think about Ariel, Tide, Lenore, all of those brands that I have around my house. But I often wonder, are they subject to the same kind of trends as you would find in fragrances and flavors in your current job? How does it work out? How do I know that Tide is going to be on trend or Ariel is going to be of the moment? Or is that something people think about when they're producing these products?
So in Procter, I've been on different roles, and Fabric Care was one, but I worked on fine fragrance as well there. And, you know, the Fil Rouge, the common point was fragrance really is core to the consumer experience with any of these brands and product categories, right? It's so defining of the everyday experience with the product. It's so defining of the brand that it becomes really a central part of the product mix, right? So the simple answer is yes. Also, Ariel and Tide need to be in a way up to the trends. Of course, it's different one category from another, right? So if you go to Fabric Enhancers or Air Care, you find a huge variety of scents, a lot of direct inspiration from fine fragrance. It's very current. There's an element of novelty that you need each time. You look at a flagship functional laundry detergent, it tends to be a bit more stable, but yet the codes of cleaning olfactively are also evolving, and those brands need to stay up to date with it for sure.
Well, because I always guess, and people probably forget that, in some ways, smell is their signature brand, in the sense that I know almost without even looking, I can smell what the brand. And this is something that I've always been curious about, is why more companies don't really choose a smell to represent their brand. Because there are some hotels who do it, and you know, they're, I think about Lush as a brand, or I think about The Body Shop. There's a distinct, Aesop is a good example, where these have particular marks or smells to them. But do you think it's still underrated that a lot of businesses, while they think about the graphic logo, they think about their color, they still don't really think about the smell? And yet smell is one of the most powerful ways to communicate, and the best way to activate their brain in a particularly, if the smell is good, a positive and uplifting manner.
Absolutely. I think, you know, there's increasing awareness and understanding of the importance of scent in defining the consumer experience. And it's beyond the products, right? It also comes to retail. In some cases, it even came to packaging for online shopping, right? So when I receive from a given supplier and I unbox, how is that experience smelling like? Can I use that as a signature moment for my brand too? There's more and more awareness, but there's still opportunities to take the olfactive identity and DNA of a brand to the same level of you know, visual identity or logos, as yeah. You said. So that's something we are working with some companies on.
It's fantastic because I am always amazed. I mean, I'm just chatting to the CEO of Lush. And, you know, if you think about Lush, you think about the smell, first of all. It's like Intel. You think about the sound rather than you think about the lettering. And I'm always surprised that when I chat with CEOs and talk to them about the brand and the mark, smell is the least considered one. And yet when you go into the neurosciences and speak to neuroscientists, they tell you that smell sits on top in terms of triggering our emotions, our desires, our sense of wonder. And I always go, my goodness, isn't it? There's probably a whole educational job to be done in reminding people again about the power of smell and also how you can engineer that smell and create journeys with it that are not just unique, but will take people along a certain pathway in the way that sometimes brands find difficult to do with the packaging and the graphics because they just sit in that moment, in that place, in that time, where smell allows us to travel back and forward in time and, I guess, even in different kinds of character.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's a very clear understanding at product level of that connection, right? The importance of scent in driving brand loyalty, familiarity, in driving the experience as understood by the most brands. We have clients really across the board from private label to top brands, and they all understand how important fragrance is on the product mix. I think you're right when it comes to brand signature, DNA, that can be done for sure.
I'm guessing, because we do a lot of work across different age groups and different kind of attitudes and mindsets, that when I speak to Gen Z consumers, for example, they are really aware of the role smell plays. How do you see Gen Z consumers and their associations with smell? Is it different to, say, millennials or different to Gen X or whatever?
I think Gen Z is a great audience for scent because you are right. It's, in a way, a richer relationship they have with scent than, say, Gen X. I mean, our generation, Martin, is very much used to this notion of fragrance as an identification exercise, right? I pick an icon that can say something about me. I tend to stick to it. And it's a rather monodimensional relationship, or at least that's what we were used to.
It's like a marker. We see it as it's a marking us out in a particular way rather than telling things about us. It's telling us about who we associate our icons with. I think that's what you're saying, yeah.
That's right. And then you go to Gen Z and it's a much richer relationship. They understand that fragrance is a moment of self-care as well. And they tend to explore with that, right? They tend to have more products for achieving different dimensions of self-care. They tend to experiment more. And even the way they engage with the brands is much more of a conversation than what our generation used to have. In terms both of understanding the functional and well-being dimension of the product as much as the way they interact with the brands, it's a great generation and it opens up new
I mean, I was really surprised. If you think about, you know, a lot of us always regard fragrances or scents generally as occasion-based, you know, or tied into a moment. So it was like romance, or it was going out, or it was kind of memory, you know, as an anniversary gift, etc. I've been chatting to a number of neuroscientists where they were looking at brain scans. So when the brain is observing or absorbing something, what's the brain doing? And what chemicals are released while the brain is doing that? And they were saying that one of the things that we keep forgetting about is that certain smells trigger endorphins, trigger different kinds of serotonin. And then also ones that what you would have the love molecule or the cuddle chemical, oxytocin. And it, that notion that smell at its most basic will allow us to excrete these really natural and brilliant chemicals. And you were saying that only now are we beginning to understand which smells and how to combine them. So I'm fascinated that, and I always think, you know, when you work in the fragrance industry, these things are probably known naturally. We know that certain smells like verbena will cause this, a smell of cyanic will enliven, enrichen, sharpen. But I'm loving now the way the science is coming together behind it to allow you and your team to really create your point about focus and engineer these fragrances that in some ways, I'm not just doing the romance bit, because we get that, but are doing the focus bit, doing the wellness bit, doing the sleep bit. So suddenly, to me, this industry has stopped being about what I call the discount areas and about the retail areas and about the luxury areas is now entering all parts of our life, has come into it, which kind of leads me on to my question about what are the next things you're thinking about? What are the next smells or fragrances or scent notes I should be looking out for in 2023?
I think what to expect in terms of olfactive novelty and what are the new fields, the new areas of our life where we can expect scent to become more central. And olfactively, there's a constant flow of news. And what we are seeing right now, for example, especially with Generation Z, this idea of strong and surprising contrast. So you mix up chili lime with a more savory note, right? And that gives the kick that Gen Z is looking for.
See, these are my favorites. Yeah, you're already talking to a convertee. I mean, these are exactly how I imagine fragrance should be. And other people hate me for wearing something that smells of tar or, you know, it's a fragrance that reminds us of salt and chili and lime because it's an edible fragrance rather than, as they see, a traditional romantic one. But, you know, I'm so glad I always live ahead of the curve and that most people eventually go, Martin, you should have told me about this before because you're describing, I think, one of the great smells for 2023 is anything with chili in it, not on it in a food term, but in it as a fragrance term.
Yeah, absolutely. And then again, as you said, we understand it better. I think much of what has been so far empirical knowledge, right, experience in the industry and really the personal journey of the perfumers and what they found out over time, we now have the knowledge and the science behind it, and hopefully the two things can come together to be even more intentional, right?
And I think also you've got a, I think, more curious, particularly that Gen Z group you're talking about, more curious, more demanding, not in a bad way, demanding in, God, I'd like to try this, I want to experiment with that. And I think the big issue of bespoke, because a lot of people are talking about, you know, how you make clothing more bespoke, fragrance is more bespoke. I guess you've already had to think about that in terms of, you know, could you offer me a fragrance for one that's unique to my DNA print and nobody else? Or is that still a little way down the line?
I think it's much more of a, if you wish, a business model and sort of distribution model channel,
right,
than it is a product engineering challenge, right? We know the way scent interact with ourselves is very much personal. There's the link to emotion. There's also the direct link to the memories center. So what triggers maybe a pleasant memory to me has the opposite effect on you, right? And if we understand that, you can really get personal in the design. We also understand when it comes to the more technical dimension, like how is our different ingredients interacting with the skin and they get released based on what happens with your biome or the enzymes produced by your body. So every scent then comes to life in a different way depending on the skin. I think we are there with a product knowledge, but to take it from there to really an industry model where you design one-to-one.
Yeah, I've seen it at the kind of luxury end of the market with skincare, you know, where you're beginning to see that quick DNA testing and then the kind of doing the biome, and then they're giving you, it's a rough formula. You know, it probably, because it's 1 in 1,000, which is still workable, for you it seems unique. So I think we're beginning to see at that end. One of the areas I'm really curious about, and I was giving a talk yesterday to a group of hoteliers, and I mentioned the M word, and I think people almost left the room, which of course is the metaverse. Because, you know, for them, in real life is what they're talking about when you go and stay in a hotel. But I did notice that 10% of revenues in the future, this is according to McKinsey, in the hotel industry will come from the metaverse direct. And I then thought, well, I'm meeting you today. And I thought, well, I'm going to find out about what it says on fragrances and scents. And they were saying pretty much similar figures. It was sort of like 3 to 5%. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts on the metaverse are and how you see Firmenich in relation to having a space or a footing in the metaverse. Is that something you're considering at the moment?
Definitely, yes. I think that the topic is out there. It's key to our clients. It's key to ourselves. And I think it's a matter of when and how we get there rather than if. When you think about it, we are very much driven by intuition, right? as a species, so much of what we do is driven by that. And over our evolution, the sense of olfaction has been keen to form our intuition, right? So you smell something that tells you danger, you run away, you smell something that is attractive, you're pulled to it, right? And when you think about it, you know, any experience, including virtual reality or the metaverse, if we are not able to behave naturally, including our way of working through intuition, it's not really the greatest experience to live. So we'll have to find a way to inject the sense of smell in that world.
I mean, it was interesting watching, you know, the latest incarnation of Avatar, you know, the fact that you are surrounded. It occurred to me, at that level, with that kind of technology, fragrance was a step closer, because I could see how using things like synesthetics, for example, or using vibration, as a lot of brands are looking at. So vibration can stimulate smell in a different way, particularly if you think about, you know, it's just molecules and it's cells and microcilia in our nose that's registering particular impulses. And I was reading recently, it would be possible to create these impulses artificially that will trigger in the brain the same reaction I would expect when I smell lime or lemon or cinnamon or civet or whatever. So I thought, at that level, it would be possible. But the realities are, when you go online, you know, you go into the metaverse, not only is it still fairly clunky technology, fragrance sits in the area of NFTs. So I'm using it to sell or to tie my virtual to my real product. So I can see it working there, but I'm in agreement with you. I think currently, with the issues we have, it's unlikely that I would predict that you're going to see massive sales of fragrance unless it has a counterpart or a mirror in the real world, that, you know, I'm actually buying the bottle in the real world and my game or whatever is taking place in the virtual realm.
Look, I think there are, you know, more near horizon things that are important, right? So what you talked about, synesthesia, that's important because, you know, put aside for the moment the metaverse, even if we're just talking selling online, on social media, you don't get to smell the product before you decide to buy. So the way we present it needs to be different, right? The big Hollywood name, suggestive advertising is no longer enough. We also have to let people really feel what the product is going to smell like, right? So the way you describe the emotional impact, the way you describe the colors you use, the way you use sound. The other thing is also how we get to experience the metaverse and what type of devices, and can you use that as a way to diffuse and synchronize the olfactive element with the rest of the experience. In 10 days from now, we are running an event here in Geneva with the Swiss Orchestra, where the audience is going to wear a collar diffusing scent, which is going to create a very holistic experience, right? So I think those ideas are going to be reality pretty soon, as soon as the technologies are mature and scalable and good enough. I'm convinced we're going to see that. I think the idea of reproducing the effect of smell on our emotion, on our memory center, with the other means than the olfactive molecules themselves, that's a bit of, it's not impossible, but it's definitely further out.
It's quite a way, because I had a chat with Ivy Ross, who actually will be appearing on a future podcast, and she's vice president of hardware at Google. And she was the person, you know, as a former designer, artist, who, you know, worked with the team on Google Glass. And she was saying, you know, that even at that point, the problem is consumers' imaginations live ahead of the realities of the tech. And we were just commenting on currently, you know, where you have the Oculus Rift headsets. While they do work brilliantly, they're still quite heavy. So you're going to have an issue. You're not going to be wearing them daily in the way you're wearing glasses, and how she imagined this would happen. And she was saying, until the technology can accommodate our lifestyle and not us having to accommodate technology, she said all of those things that we're talking about, like the, you know, the scent world, synesthesia, she said they become secondary, because really at the moment we're still trying to sell games and we're still trying to sell the wonder, as she said, of this 3D thing, when what we should be doing is selling the everyday of 3D. And that's when fragrance becomes important, because in our everyday life, what makes it extraordinary is fragrance, because we go, wow, this is a moment that makes me feel honored and above what happens to me in a normal day to day. So I was kind of fascinated that she, from the technology side, was thinking that. One of the questions that occurred to me is, when I think about scent activating all of these things, and there's an area that, in fact, it came up yesterday in my conversation with hoteliers about how fragrance would mimic different transcendental states. So you have that ability in fragrances. And on the other side, you have got other brands who are looking at LSD, THC, DMT as base ingredients, you know, where it used to sit on the areas of being illegal. Now, lots of people are legislating and they're going, actually, you know, these things need to be controlled. Would you ever imagine that we would have, I know, Bompas and Parr, I was laughing with you at one point, they did amyl nitrate as part of a cocktail. So I was going, gosh, as a gay man, I remember amyl nitrate from my clubbing days. And I kind of go, I couldn't imagine drinking a cocktail. And then I smelled it and I go, oh, actually, you know what? The smell opened up different memories. So I'm just wondering, do you think we would reach a point where we would have proper fragrances giving us altered states that we'd normally expect when we're on a recreational night out? So I'm trying to phrase that very carefully so our listeners understand what we're chatting about.
Yeah, I think the reality is consumers are experimenting in different ways. Some countries are legislating around this. But I think fundamentally the way fragrance works is different. We talked about that before, right? It's through the emotion and the memory center in our brain. So it's fundamentally different than this type of altered state. Now, can you be evoking? Can you be suggesting? Definitely. But I don't think we are going to see hallucination through scent.
I was thinking about Dior doing the great party fragrance. The reason I mention it is because I just been reading a whole set of literature about neuroscientists working on GABA beers. So beers that affect you in the way that you would if you were drinking. But given that there are lots of people now who are not drinking, you have this whole sober curious movement.
Yeah.
They were saying, actually, why don't we replicate it's a drink which doesn't contain any illegal or any substances that are banned. It simply contains natural ingredients which stimulate GABA in the same way that potentially a drug would do that. And I think that's what I found curious, is where we're rediscovering, you know, we've come from the science end and we're rediscovering natural ingredients. And you're talking about things like lime. You mentioned that earlier. Chili has a particular edifying, energetic effect. So that, I guess, is one way people are looking at it. And I know that when I was researching it, there was a company who did Hallucinex, I think it's called, which was sold as a fragrance that would activate this natural high. And when I looked at the small print in the formula, to your point, it contained all of those ingredients that I'd expect to find in fragrances, but it was the combination and the cocktail that really made the difference. So again, I think we forget how much fragrance lives ahead of our desire. And sometimes we begin to match up to it. And I'm reaching that point in the show where we're about to enter the future. And I always ask my guests at this point to tell me how they're seeing the future in relation to the industry or the sectors they're working in. So I'm going to put that question to you. How are you seeing the world, or how would you like the world to change? Because I always think it's your vision of the world. What would you like to see that we should be looking out for over the next 5 years?
Well, look, you know, we talked before about the heritage of Firmenich, the importance of science and chemistry, innovation, and the Nobel Prize. And I think truly continuing to innovate on the ingredients that are available to the perfumers remains a key focus for this industry. And it's for a simple reason. One is we have to live up to the sustainability challenge that is out there. So how do we come up with things that are truly positive for the environment, right? How do we use upcycling more? How do we use renewable sources and the upstream feedstock of the molecules? How do we use biotech, right? And fortunately, again, back to Gen Z, this generation has a more comprehensive understanding of the issue and is more open to a broad set of solutions.
Oh, gosh. And believe that the way we can save the planet, because really that's the big kind of holy grail at the moment, can be through science, can be through biotech, synthetic, mixtures of everything. It isn't, as a lot of older generations believe, it's about, you know, organic and seasonal. I go, these are great things, but in themselves, why do we ignore science as part of nature? It is natural. And I think you mentioned this in a previous conversation with me. You know, why do we segregate these things? And Gen Z, I think, to your point, have really put them together and said, what's the best option in our portfolio to save tomorrow? And these are the options. And sometimes, to your point, it takes out synthetic, it takes out biotech, it takes out combinations and really presents them in a challenging way. So I'm glad that you're seeing the optimism, which I always believe that I try to bring and my guests try to bring. And, you know, is there anything else that you think as a fragrance and flavors company that you really think it would be nice to try this factor product X that would really make a difference to our lives? So one thing that you think about when you go, wow, that would be incredible if we could do that.
I think one of the things that are more intriguing about the future is that, you know, the more we understand the interaction between our emotional and mental well-being and our physical well-being, the more we think about healthcare in terms of being holistic, being preventive, the more I think there can be a deep connection with scent for all the reasons we discussed before, right? So, you know, I hope if we have this conversation in a couple of years from now, we would see scent connections with healthcare as a much more real and current conversation, because I think there's some strong foundation for that, right? And as we mature in our approach to healthcare, that would be great. And it's part of that connection between fragrance and self-care and well-being that we discussed before. Also, self-care, well-being are big words, big topics, but once you start looking at specific consumer groups, right? I was a teenager, different from a menopausal woman, and how can you really get into more targeted way of designing to their benefits and to their needs and use fragrances to do that.
And I guess to your point, the customer is ready because, you know, the kind of self-care, health, well-being, you know, the perimenopause, thinking about our different life stages. So many of those areas are associated with memory smells or with smells that uplift us and take us away from those things. You know, what are their painful memories we want to escape, or what are they our hugely nostalgic memories we want to recapture? So I kind of feel that you have brought me into this future, and I'm looking forward to having that conversation with you in 10 years. I'm hoping then we will be doing it in the metaverse and we'll be able to, dare I say, smell each other. Maybe that's not such a good thing because I'm in a really damp studio at the moment, but something to look forward to. And Matteo, again, many thanks for sharing your thoughts with us. You can find out more about Matteo and his work at firmenich.com. So it's fairly simple, that one. There are lots of detail there about the fantastic work that the brand is currently doing and is planning for the future. So this is Martin Raymond reminding you to keep looking, keep listening, and of course, keep smelling and asking what's new and what's next. Until next week.
Thank you, Martin.